When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Woody Johnson has been in the crosshairs this entire season, and especially after the firings of Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh and some of these guys that have left the organization. Rex Hogan prior to that, who was assistant GM, one of Joe Douglas's best friends. So there's a lot of people out there that now have an axe to grind and probably speaking freely about stuff that happened. You know, there's a ton of guys who get fired in the NFL. Not everyone wants to go and disparage their former employer unless there's something that's going on that they feel like they need to explain or need to get out there. So, you know, I do believe that the things that I'm reading in here are true. I think the reporting has been good from Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt, and this just paints the Jets in even worse light than they've ever been in as I'm going through this article. And this is why I've been saying for months that anybody worth a hill of you-know-what who's a head coach candidate or general manager candidate is going to think twice about taking this job. And if there's any way that Mike Vrabel actually wants to take the job, and I'm Woody and you want him, you pay him more than anybody else. So, some of the highlights here. As I mentioned in the headline, Woody Johnson, in this article, they are claiming, nixed a trade for wide receiver Jerry Jeudy in the offseason based on his Madden rating. And this wasn't the only time he had done that. He had done that in the past and also did it with an offensive lineman who the Jets ended up bringing in anyway. But Woody Johnson said, I don't want to bring him in. His awareness on Madden is too low. Now, they're saying in the article that his sons, Brick and Jack, are the ones that are influencing this, that they are the teenage sons. They're younger. They play Madden, they read everything, and they bring it to Woody, and then Woody reacts to that, even so much so that it's quoted in here. Now, Joe Douglas did not say this publicly, but it's quoted saying, Joe Douglas once said in the building, someone witnessed him saying, I answer to a teenager, meaning one of Woody Johnson's sons. There was also a moment, they say, where Brick and Jack are way too involved, where Aaron Rodgers, after the Jets beat the Texans on that Thursday night game, had a game ball for Jeff Ulbrich because Jeff Ulbrich had won his first NFL game. And Brick walked into the locker room and announced that he was giving the game ball to Garrett Wilson. And it was the most awkward moment because Aaron Rodgers was standing there with a game ball about to present it to Jeff Ulbrich. Brick comes in, gives the game ball to Garrett Wilson, and the source in the article said that the entire air was sucked right out of the room. It was the most awkward thing ever, is what they said. So it basically paints a picture of a guy who is impulsive, who doesn't know what he's doing, who listens to everybody around him, like his sons, social media, things like that, and has created an environment there that it's almost impossible to succeed in. So, you know, when we say, why does it happen to the Jets? why did this happen? Only the Jets type of thing. At least in the reporting that has gone on the last couple of years, especially this year, it goes to one thing, and that's Woody Johnson's inability to manage this franchise in any sort of competent way.
Yeah, well, this is not a great article for the incoming regime, whoever it is. That's for sure. But, you know, there are guys out there like Dimitroff and I'm sure John Robinson that will be more than happy to take the job because it is a job. It is one of 32 jobs, and it is a big job. So they'll deal with all the outside noise, and, you know, I'm sure they'll all be warned about all of this kind of stuff. I hate really kind of talking about teenagers. I mean, like, you know, these kids, obviously the people over there know who they are and everything else. I don't want to get involved in that. It really has got to be controlled by their dad who owns the team. And if it is accurate, and I don't understand, I don't see why it wouldn't be accurate. That makes it a really difficult situation for a lot of people on that staff.
Yeah.
And it just makes it impossible. And I don't know if Woody's not going to see this. Nothing's going to change. You know, he's been around for a long time.
What do you mean he's not going to see this? So a guy who has been rumored to pay attention to everything that's going on in the media is not going to get this article, won't get to him?
No, I mean, like, he won't see it the way that it's written. Like, oh, okay. He won't see it that way. You know, I mean, that's his kids. That's his blood, you know, and it's his team. And, you know, he's a very impetuous and impatient owner, it sounds like. You know, I never, and when I've gone over there, and you and I have gone over there, I've never felt that part of it. I've never felt this part of it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I even dealing with the front office people over there and talking to all of them, nobody's ever complained to us, or at least to me anyway.
Would they? You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone is, like, when they're an active member of the staff, for them to, off the air, say something to you or me about how their boss is driving them
Rob
crazy.
Rob Saleh did it with Joe Beningo.
But that was, no, but that, not with Woody Johnson, he didn't.
Well, I mean.
And by the way, did he? He was more, so he goes, Beningo goes, I can tell you he doesn't like the quarterback. And then Joe came out and said, no, he didn't say that. He was inferring that.
Yeah.
And then all Rob Saleh said that he had sent Joe Beningo was basically a defense of his record and how he doesn't have a quarterback. And you look at all these other coaches who didn't have a quarterback and they also suck.
Right. So I would sit there. If somebody said, okay, Boomer, what would you say to Woody Johnson? I'd say, Woody, look, for 14 years, it hasn't gone right. And there's been one constant, and that constant has been you as the owner. I mean, you have to sit back and you have to look at yourself and you have to decide whether or not you want to hire people and let them do what they want to do. And of course, they're going to involve you in decision making. But if they feel strongly about making a certain type of decision, then you got to let them do it. You got to let them do their job. That's what you're paying them for. You know, they're the ones that have to deal with the aggravation. They're the ones that have to deal with the trades and have to deal with the draft and have to deal with injured players and have to deal with all the machinations that go into running a football team. And then to have an owner come in and say, hey, you know, we don't want this guy because his Madden rating and his IQ rating or whatever the hell it is, awareness rating is low, is ridiculous.
You ready for this one? This one, I think, is going to really get to you because it involves a quarterback. In 2022... quarterback Mike White played through broken ribs in a late season game against the Seattle Seahawks with postseason hopes on the line. We remember that game.
Of course, yes.
White played poorly. The Jets lost and were eliminated from playoff contention. After the game, with the quarterback in the showers, after throwing his helmet to the locker room floor, multiple Jets players said they heard Woody Johnson say, "You should throw your helmet. You effing suck." The statement got back to White. The team spokesperson said Johnson apologized to the quarterback. You should throw your helmet, you effing suck, to a backup quarterback who was playing through broken ribs. And so much so that a team spokesperson said in this story that Woody Johnson ended up having to apologize. That sounds like a true story to me. That sounds like a terrible thing.
It's not the right thing, no. It's awful.
You're holding back here.
It's awful.
You're holding back.
It's awful. I mean, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, man, to say the least, right now.
Yeah, I mean, and really what this comes down to, like, what does it mean? All right, it gives you an explanation as to why things have been brutal for the organization.
All right, so let me ask you this question now. So Mike Tannenbaum's doing this search.
Mm-hmm.
He lived this life.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you think he's telling the prospective general managers this or no?
You want to know why?
Why?
He's getting paid by them again. He's hired. And he...
The word has to be out on the street, in the NFL, with the coaches.
It is, and he'll defend Woody even if he doesn't believe what he's saying is true for a couple of reasons. He was hired by the Jets, so he's not going to sit there and slam Woody. And two, his reputation's on the line because everybody knows that Tannenbaum and Spielman are looking for the next GM. So if they come up and suggest a guy that flops, then all of a sudden Mike Tannenbaum's name goes deeper into the mud in Jets history.
Their biggest mistake they made is they should have gotten Davante Adams in the offseason. And then we would have seen more of what we just saw in Jacksonville between these two great players.
Their defense has been terrible.
I know that. We're just talking about from the offensive standpoint. They're talking about going for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
And that's
Judy's been
too.
Great, know, by the way, know, in an offense that blows.
That stinks. I know. So I realize that. But I'm just saying that, you know, you see these plays that Aaron and Davante are making now. It's been a while for them to get back into this rhythm type of thing. And this past weekend, man, that was vintage stuff.
Mm.
That was incredible stuff. That's why that trade should have been made before the season even started.
In the post-game locker room after last year's Week 17 loss to Cleveland, multiple players said they heard Johnson's sons loudly disparaging certain Jets players. I mean, when you hear like multiple Jets players, I mean, that's when you're hearing things where this is not coming from, you know, Rex Hogan or some of these other guys who had left. Like, it could be players who had left, obviously, because they're on the last year's team, not this year's team.
Yep.
But,
yeah, it's a mess. Definitely a mess, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's another thing in here that I want to read you right now, but yeah.
I personally hope that some of this isn't accurate, but man, it doesn't surprise me.
No. I mean, and by the way, a lot of these things have absolutely checked out. And I know that Jets fans have said, oh, you know, these athletic reporters are after the Jets. I don't think that they're after the Jets. I think that the story comes to them. I think that the Jets have been so dysfunctional. They've been in the news because of Aaron Rodgers and everything else. It is New York. I think that it's coming to them.
Yep.
They're not seeking it out.
You know what's amazing to me is, like, of all the times that I had conversations with Joe Douglas, I used to start out, like, you know, so what's it really like working for Woody? Because, man, he's passionate. He used to say that. He's passionate. You know, and he lets them spend the money, whether or not they're spending the money and getting the players that the GM and the coach want, as opposed to what the owner and his sons want. That's a whole nother story.
And by the way, Joe Douglas is a class act. And
100%.
I know that you and me to a lesser degree, but we developed a relationship with him over the years that he was here. And we liked him. We had Boomer and Geo Live. Joe Douglas is not going to say, even though that you and him developed this professional relationship, he's not going to say to you off the air, I hate Woody Johnson, while he's working for Woody Johnson. He never did. Like,
never
so
did.
Even if he felt that way. So he might have felt that way, he might not have. But if he did, he's not going to say that because that's just, he's a pro. Joe Douglas is a pro.
Like, for the years that I know him and the amount that I talked to him, he never once ever indicated any of this.
What about
that's kind of stuff that, but that's kind of, no, he hasn't. But that's kind of stuff that you would want to keep in house anyway.
Yeah.
Like if you were him, you know, because he's dealing with it, but he never once ever intimated any of it.
Yeah, I think that says more about Joe Douglas, the man, than it does that this stuff isn't true with Woody Johnson.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You remember a couple weeks ago when Aaron Rodgers was criticizing all the talking heads on TV, especially the ones that played, but they were really nobodies.
Yes,
but now
yes.
They're making a living on TV.
Yeah.
So Ryan Clark a few days ago did shoot back. I didn't get to all of this, but the initial comment.
I find it extremely funny that he's saying this on a show with a man who, as great as he was as a punter, is far more famous as a pundit.
That's a fact.
And Pat McAfee.
And that was Cam Newton there in the middle. So Rodgers had an opportunity to respond yesterday on the McAfee show. It's on the longer side, but you'll get the gist.
I got to say this multiple times for people because they don't listen. But say whatever the f*** you want about me. I don't care. But just before you do it, whether you state your name, your accolades, pronouns, whatever it is, just state your vax status so that anything you say afterwards gets put in the right light. So just get it out there. Because then when you say things about me, people can at least be like, oh, you are captured by the multi-billion dollar propaganda psyop, and you're still upset about it.
Okay. This will help things out.
Yeah, this is good. This is going to help things out. Yeah.
That's funny. So there you go. He responded to the Ryan Clark thing, which was a few days ago.
And then
ago.
Ryan Clark responded back.
Did he really?
Yeah, on social media.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Ryan likes to mix it up.
Yeah.
Understood.
So now there's a big war going on.
Mm. I remember there was I said something about Ryan Clark, whatever was on the air, and Awful Announcing picked it up or something, and I was going to Turks and Caicos with Gina, and then I see all this Ryan Clark stuff going crazy on social media, and Olivero's calling me. I'm in the airport. I'm like, Jesus Christ. He's like, I think you did anything wrong. What's going on here with Ryan Clark? He's like, I don't know. He wants to meet me somewhere. I don't know. What the hell's going on?
Oh, I do remember that. That's right.
Yeah. He's like, want to talk this out like men? I'm like, nah, not really.
Let me get on a plane now and fly away.
No, not really. You don't want to talk about
it. No, I really didn't want to. I was like, you got a show. I got a show. I got stuff to do. I got a family. I don't want to talk to you. I got nothing to say. I said what I had to say. You know, I don't need to be your friend.
But you worked with him in Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Well, he was a weekly spot for us. And then that's where we got off to the wrong foot, on the wrong foot there, because we were paying him. He was still active Pittsburgh. Still, we're paying him to do a weekly spot. And one day he's like, oh, man, I can't come on today. Like, bailed 10 minutes before the interview. We had a TV in the studio, and I look up on the TV, and who's on Mike and Mike is Ryan Clark. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I just slammed the hell out of him on the air, and that became a big problem.
Yeah, well, he created that problem.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's different because they were so worried about their relationship with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the radio station, so, like, they didn't see that he did anything wrong. So just let him do it. Don't worry about it, you know. We're not the flagship station of the Steelers. In fact, we have an active Steeler on the air. We don't want to lose that. So they were all mad at me, but I was like, this guy just blew us off. We're paying him. Whatever. So I mean,
like Phil Simms blowing us off on Wednesdays.
And then you see him on with Craig.
Yeah, with Craig. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
When the Giants play the Falcons Sunday, it'll be Michael Penix at quarterback. Kirk Cousins will now be the backup as they make the announcement in a statement last night to the Falcons. Meantime, remember over the weekend,
the Broncos-Colts game completely flipped on that Jonathan Taylor play yes. where he dropped the ball
yes.
around the goal line. So Bill Simmons on his podcast had an interesting theory on what may or may not be happening.
Do people black out when they're about to score? It's the only thing I can think of. Is it like having an orgasm where you just kind of lose perspective? And you're, you just like lose the ball? What other explanation could there be?
You scored touchdowns. Did you black out when you were crossing the goal line?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh.
Right.
You have to change your pants.
Oh, man. And then speaking of the NFL, you've got Christopher Mad Dog Russo. This is on Sirius. This isn't on ESPN. Not happy with the upcoming schedule.
They put the two games on Christmas, so it's at Netflix, as we discussed forever. Who the hell can watch an NFL game on Christmas Day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I can't, and I hate Christmas.
Okay.
What? He hates Christmas?
What? I guess so. I don't know.
Is he like an antichrist or what?
I have no idea. And then I don't get this one where he's talking about the timing of the games.
So Kansas City, Pittsburgh is at 1 and Baltimore at Houston is at 4:30. And those are Netflix games. We got to make sure Netflix, some dope in Pakistan, can watch his football game.
What? What is he talking about?
Dope in Pakistan?
The games are at 1 a.m. and 4 a.m.
What? Hey, I love Baltimore too. That's
you got to put Baltimore on, and then some dope in Syria can sit there and watch the game on a Netflix game.
Yeah, it was a little weird, I thought, but that's
some a-hole in Abu Dhabi, so he could watch it on Netflix, the Netflix game.
And then here he's reacting to the release that Netflix put out on social media that's got the broadcaster lineup. I don't know if you've seen this.
No,
it's a lot of people. So here's Russo.
And Netflix, I'm surprised they didn't find Ed Coleman. I mean, Netflix with their lineup, oh my God, they got everybody who's, they got 9 billion people in the broadcast booth, whether it's the pregame show and everything. Half of them ESPN, half of them been fired by ESPN. I mean, it's absurd. Call me, I might go.
So there you have it. And it is, I think there's 22 people broadcasting these two games.
What?
Pregame for the pregame. And in the in-game, you get the sideline reporters, the play-by-play, the analysts, and the pregame shows have several different people. Highlighted, of course, by Ian and Noah Eagle, who are doing the play-by-play of the two games, one each. They posted a photo. Even Pete Bilotti, even he posted like 22 people for two football games. It is a lot. So we shall see.
I understand that on Sunday there's multiple football games, but even like when Prime does a game.
It's a lot of people.
So Prime Thursday night shows up.
Yep.
And so Netflix is treating it like a Thursday night game or a NBC Sunday night game or an ESPN Monday night game.
Yeah,
how they're treating it.
And they do, I think, five, right, for the pre and the post. And then you've got the two, probably another four for in-game. So they got 9 on that broadcast.
That's
probably.
What I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, like, they have the right amount of people because you have two games that they're doing and they're treating them as if they are. And what they are is standalone games.
You see it there, G?
Yeah. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
All right, so we'll have some fun with this next segment. I'll get to give you, is this person a part of the broadcast team or not?
Okay.
Because this is insane.
It's a lot of people. No, so you can do it after the break. So while you do that, I will tell you Cody Bellinger to the Yankees from the Cubs. The Yankees introducing Max Fried. People were nervous because they hadn't announced it yet after a while, but he's back from wherever he was. Noon today will be the press conference for Fried. They did introduce Devin Williams yesterday where the Mets introduced Clay Holmes as well. NBA-wise, the Bucks did win the NBA Cup. They beat the Thunder in Vegas 97-81. The NBA did also announce another new format for their All-Star Weekend. 24 All-Stars divided into 3 8-player teams. A fourth team will be the winner from the Rising Stars game. So they have the 32 players. And they're going to play a 3-game tournament as it is, like a semifinals and a final. Kevin Durant was asked his thoughts on this new format.
I hate it. Absolutely hate it. It's terrible. All-Star game, formats changing, all the formats.
terrible, in my opinion.
And then he would go on to say, I don't know why we're trying to reinvent the wheel. East versus West, let's do it. The problem is they don't play when they do that. So, whatever. That's what we're going to see if you do watch it. St. John's beat DePaul 89-61. Villanova beat Seton Hall 79-67. And on the ice, the Rangers fell to the Predators 2-0 as they got shut out. Jonathan Marchessault and Adam Willsby with
the goals. Why thought they had a muffin?
Yes, well, because. The Devils did beat the Blues 4-1, and the Islanders were shut out by the Hurricanes 4-0.
It is fun listening to some of the Yankees fans who understand the new world that we live in with Steve Cohen going all in the way that he did with Juan Soto. So C-Mac's one of those guys. So C-Mac driving in today. I mean, if you are a Mets fan and you're listening to C-Mac, who is Yankee propaganda, like he's actually growing pinstripes on his face. He goes, man, I'm going to tell you right now, if the Mets don't re-sign Pete Alonso this offseason, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will 100% be a New York Met next offseason. And he's not going to come to the Yankees. The Yankees aren't going to outbid him. Steve Cohen's going to get him. And barring some sort of injury or terrible year, but he's going to get him. He's going to spend all that money. And you're going to have Soto and Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the same lineup next year. And he's just going to blow everybody away. I was like, ooh. I was like, that sounds good. I'll take that. But if they do re-sign Pete Alonso, maybe not. And now the Yankees are back engaged with him. As fun as this offseason has been and last year has been, and I don't know if Pete going to any other team would bother me, it would be... It would be a tough thing to get used to seeing him over there in the Bronx.
I've said this. I said, you know, if the Yankees were not going to sign Juan Soto, you have enough money to sign four or five other guys and fill your entire roster.
Because you got to remember, you got to break it down into the yearly salary, not $750, $65 million.
But again, in 15 years. I mean, I just, you know, you could do short term with a guy like Pete Alonso, who knows? But I... Put him in that lineup, man, and having all those home run hitters. I know it may drive Yankee fan crazy, but they also may set a record for home runs in a season. And the one thing I will say, when you look at the National League, not quite as easy as the American League.
That is true.
And I, you know, you got the Dodgers to deal with. You got the Padres to deal with. I don't know how good the Cubs will end up being. I'm not sure. They're spending a little bit more money this year, but they're moving things around. You got the Braves to deal with, the Phillies to deal with. It feels like there's a much deeper bench on the NL side of things in order to get to the World Series as opposed to the AL side of things right now.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And I think everybody who pays attention to the game would say that, as we like to say cakewalk many, many times throughout the American League playoffs for the Yankees. They still made it there, but obviously their road was a hell of a lot easier for them this year because the Astros, they didn't have to deal with the Astros.
And I like the way they refortified their pitching staff. I like what they're doing. It feels like they're doing the right things in order to stay on top in the American League. I'm like, who is their biggest competition? It's not going to be the Red Sox. It's not maybe the Orioles. They're young and they got injured last year. The Toronto Blue Jays.
They're going to be losing some. Yeah. I mean, they're not a lot. There's not a lot of teams there. And the Orioles seem to be losing some guys. They're not going to be bringing back the same team. And that might be a better thing for them because they really did struggle most of the year.
How about the Rangers? You know, DeGrom should be back.
And you know what? We always talk about the guys that the Mets don't re-sign or trade that end up being better somewhere else and come back to bite them. But when the guys go somewhere else and it's a disaster for that other team, we never seem to talk about that. And Jacob DeGrom's been exactly that for the Rangers.
That's exactly right, but he'll be back this year.
Yes. For how long? We don't know. But he certainly will be back, at least for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, that was like him bolting and the money and everything else. Like, you lost DeGrom. I could lose DeGrom. We haven't seen him. It's been a rumor. So, good thing there. That's one of the ones that sometimes it's the money you don't spend, right? Sometimes it's the trade you don't make.
That's the point about the Yankees. I mean, you know, you get Max Fried and you get Williams. Come on, man. And Bellinger, you know, he'll be a perfect Yankee.
A perfect Yankee.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I would agree he does fit sort of everything Yankee, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's just as long as he, you know, returns to being, you know, the Bellinger that he was when he won the MVP.
Yeah.
And doesn't go the other way. But again, it's a short term time he's going to be here. So he has to be motivated. And I would assume that he has got to be pretty jacked about being here.
Do you think if we asked Brian Cashman, if we ordered a cameo from Brian Cashman to Brandon Tierney, and we had Cashman say something like, "Hey, Brandon, I know you don't think I earned the right to rebuild this team in the way it needs to be rebuilt, but I hope you like what's going on, and I hear you like Plan B." You think he would actually record that one for us?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think he would either.
I don't think he would.
I think he wants to
turn that one down. Just wants to do fans.
He wants to do that. But that would endear him, I think, to fans more if he did something like that. I think it'd be a great moment for him to kind of show off his personality as opposed to just going nerna, nerna, nerna. That's what I would suggest him to do is do that. He's like, "Hey, Brandon, it's Brian Cashman, and you know, I know you don't think I earned the right to rebuild this roster in the way that it needs to be rebuilt."
You know what? The one thing I will say here, here's the one thing I'll say about this
Plan B is here.
This Yankee relationship between ownership and the GM.
Yeah.
They let the GM do his job. Now, they may say to the GM, you know, there's a certain parameter we're going to go to in terms of spending money.
Right.
But we're going to let you do your job. You run the baseball team. This is your team to run. And I think Hal does not do what Woody Johnson does to the Jets.
No, he doesn't. He does not. And a lot of owners don't operate that way. A few crazy ones do. And someone sent me a note when we were talking about Brian Cashman that his daughter just recently got engaged. So congratulations. And that's the first ring a Cashman has gotten since 2009. Mm-hmm. But congratulations to the Cashmans.
And he's going to have to pay for the wedding.
Yeah, but that's expected. Things that you have to and what you sign up for. And when you have a daughter, you think about those things, and sometimes you have to get a very expensive tent. The Vegas Raiders are horrendous. They are really, really bad. They're just as bad as the Giants, if not worse. They had Desmond Ridder playing quarterback last night. It was ugly. It was horrible to watch. So that's going to be, if you want the number one overall pick, that's the team that you're going to be battling for, as we've been saying now for weeks. And you got a good up-close look last night. And the Minnesota Vikings continue to win. What can you say? This is a underdog team. No one expected much out of them. I didn't think I thought they'd maybe have a winning record, but not be this good. And here we are. So it's another win. Fun to watch. The Bears are a mess. They got a lot of work to do in the offseason. They got to find the right coach for that quarterback. But hey, it's football, man. And we got Thursday football, we got Saturday football, we got Sunday football. It's just unfortunate that we don't have any local teams involved in anything interesting. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well. And here's the thing about the Giants and the Raiders right now. If you go to Tankathon, you'll see that the Raiders have the number one pick. But if you go to NFL.com, you'll see that the Giants have the first pick.
Oh, well, what's going on with that?
Well, basically what's going to be, if they're tied at the end of the season with the same record, it'll be a strength of schedule is the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And if they have the same strength of schedule, then you have to go down to head-to-head if applicable. Best one loss tied percentage in common games, minimum of four of those.
Well, they're not going to have the same strength of schedule.
All right, so here's the deal. But right now, the Giants have a weaker strength of schedule, which means that they have a higher draft pick. Okay? Even though Tankathon has it wrong, according to NFL.com, it is the Giants have number one and the Raiders have number two. And, you know, that's the based on the strength of schedule, with the Giants are at 541 and the Raiders are at 571.
Yeah, and this is all these years that we have been wanting one of these two teams to get the number one overall pick. It just, this year is a really interesting one because it's not like Shedeur Sanders is across the board looked at as one of those guys like an Andrew Luck when he was coming out, or a Peyton Manning, and we've seen some of these guys. Even a Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out, you know, everybody had him unanimously as the number one overall pick and a can't-miss type of guy. It doesn't feel like Shador's that guy. And also, you got to deal with the Deion side of it. So it's like all these years that you would have loved for either the Jets or Giants to get the number one pick to get that guy. Even last year with Caleb Williams. Now it's a question mark as the Giants are fighting for it. But, man, if they end up with a number one pick and Shador's clearly that guy, I think he does come to the Giants. I mean, he's throwing the ball around with Malik Nabers. His brother, Deion Jr., was talking about how they're, you know, people don't know what they're talking about when Shador's not going to go to New York. So I do think that if the Giants beat out the Raiders for the number one overall pick, that Shedeur Sanders will be a Giant.
All right, well, here's what I think. I actually do think
that the Raiders get the number one pick, Shador's going there.
Oh, yeah,
it doesn't matter who's ranked higher, who's ranked lower. It really, that is going to be a fit for the Raiders 100% of the time. I believe that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Tom Telesco will believe that, but I do believe
he's their
that.
GM, right?
Right. Mark Davis will believe that.
Oh, Mark Davis is
going to want to have, he's going to want to have the show in town. And it wouldn't even surprise me if Mark Davis offered the job to Deion Sanders and fire Antonio Pierce. That would not surprise me at all because, you know, it's showtime. They want showtime in Vegas. They want to get fans in that building and they want to basically take it up another notch. And it just fits. It just, when you see it, it fits. For the Giants, I mean, you know, obviously Cam Ward, his name has been bandied around. You know, depending on what you're looking at right now, and I don't think I don't even have an answer at this point. I could, my answer would be Shador to the Raiders, number one, no matter what. No matter who's ranked higher, I just see that as that would be the case.
Well, Shador will be ranked higher.
I don't know that. You don't know that. Nah. And here's the thing. I've looked at three different draft sites, just kind of look, you know, and those guys, and these guys, you know, they do this for a living. They look at these guys over and over and over again. They know the strengths. They know the weaknesses. They may not know the person, but they do know all the other things that NFL teams are looking for, from arm strength to size to quickness of release, all those different, you know, things that you can look at and measure. To me, Jalen Milroe from Alabama is still in the middle of all this thing. You don't hear a lot of him, you know, in the mainstream media. You know, you hear that, you know, he may be a late first round pick. But again, we have seen this time and again that the combine, the meetings, all of the things that go into trying to determine whether or not a guy is a fit for you, we still have to go through that entire process before we can really decide who is the guy that's going to be our guy, if in fact it is the Giants, or if it is somehow, you know, maybe the Jaguars, who knows? But we're a long way from really knowing who and solidifying who number one is.
Well, we're really not that long of a way away from it. I mean, we got three games left.
That's a long way.
I mean, is
it a lot of football to be played?
Yeah, but I mean, when we're talking about the beginning of the season to where we are now and how bad these teams are, I mean, it's tough to project a victory for any of these teams. Now, the Raiders do have the Jaguars this week.
Big game.
I mean, it's for the Giants, yeah, it's huge. And, you know, there was a sign last night as I was, you know, watching both of the games in a, you know, side-by-side two box. And I see a Raiders fan, you know, that says just tank, baby, of course, on the old just win, baby deal and wanting them to tank. And I'm sure that, you know, Mark Davis is thinking the same things that you were thinking and wants the same things that we were just talking about with Shador Sanders. So I would not be surprised if, you know, this Desmond Ridder situation is just what we're going to see for the rest of the year because he can't play. I mean,
you
know, it's...
And the thing about it is the strength of schedule changes week to week.
Yeah.
You never know. So the Raiders, you know, they have Jacksonville, not a great team, so their strength of schedule is basically going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have New Orleans, not a great team. And then you have, of course, the LA Chargers, who could be fighting for a playoff spot at that moment, so that could actually ramp up their strength of schedule a little bit. You know what I mean?
And the Giants, they have the Falcons, and of course the Eagles, the last game of the year. And what is in between there?
So their strength of
schedule. The Rams, right?
Right. So think about their strength of schedule. It's going to go up.
It is. Yeah, they need Jacksonville. They need the Raiders to beat Jacksonville.
They need to have a worse record than the Raiders.
Yeah. Because
I would venture to say that, obviously, the Raiders' strength of schedule will go down and the Giants' strength of schedule will go up.
Do you have the numbers right now and how close they are on Tankathon with strength of schedule?
It's not Tankathon. It's the NFL.
No. I'm telling you, the Tankathon also has the strength of schedule
They do, but they have it wrong. According to
have the numbers wrong or their ranking wrong?
Right. So the Giants' strength of schedule is 541.
Okay.
The Raiders' strength of schedule is 571.
Yes, you would
right
think
now,
that.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to Tankathon, they still have the Raiders number one by virtue of their loss last night. And I think they're wrong at the moment, but I don't know if they're claiming that the Raiders have a weaker strength of schedule going forward. I don't know if that's factored into this.
Well, one thing I can almost say for certain is that the New York Giants will select a quarterback
in this draft, and we'll have another one of these guys to dissect and see if they turn into something. And we've seen many of them come here through the years, both in both franchises.
Here's the thing.
We got another one.
Here's the thing I got for you. So you remember when the Panthers traded for that number one pick? And, you know, everybody just assumed because the owner wanted Bryce Young that it was Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. Now, I can say this because I think this, I do believe this was out there. I think there was conversations within the Carolina building about who would you want, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. And I think it was a little bit split. I'm not going to sit here and say that it was totally split, but I do think that anytime you're making the first overall pick, you know, there's going to be strong opinions about, you know, different players. And of course, if the owner wants a certain player, sometimes that is going to be pushing people towards that player just because they want to save their jobs, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to be wrong. And I do remember a conversation that I did have with my buddy Frank, who was the head coach at the time. He goes, you know, I would take either one of these players, Boomer. They're both really good people, good players, and I think they could both can win in this league. He goes, I kind of feel like I just want the number two pick because I want that first pick out of the way to be made by somebody else. And then the number two guy will come to us and we can win with the number two guy.
Yeah, so
he if you're the Giants.
Yeah, he felt pretty strongly about both those guys.
Right, so if you're the Giants, maybe you want the second pick and let the Raiders make the first pick. And then the second guy comes to you, it's a slam dunk. That's the guy you're taking. And there's no politics around it. There's no who's the better player, or, you know, around that pick. It's just he's there. That's the guy you're taking. He's unquestionably the next best quarterback, and that's who we want.
Yeah, I also think, though, that it's a unique situation if a head coach, an offensive head coach, likes both of the guys equally. I mean, with as much tape as these guys watch, opinions that they have, I guarantee that Brian Daboll is going to have a stronger opinion or like one of those guys more than the other one. Now, he might say, hey, I like this guy better, but I think I could still win with this guy too. But he's gonna want one of the two more, you know. And I think that you still want the opportunity to pick the guy that you want.
Well, the other thing too is, let's say the Giants end up with the number one pick, and let's say they know the Raiders want Shador Sanders no matter what they want Shador Sanders, and the Giants are like, well, you know, maybe you can have Shador if you want, but you're going to have to come up and get the number one pick. And they could trade with the number two,
yeah,
and get something in return on top of, you know, getting the quarterback that ultimately they want, maybe Cam Ward.
And then that is the exact opposite of the scenario you just talked about being number two and taking the pressure off and all of that. If you end up trading those picks and you go to two when you had one, and then that two guy that you traded the pick to, and that team is great with their new quarterback, and you could have had him, and you didn't, and you took the other guy, then you're effed.
I mean,
10 ways to Sunday.
Yeah, but that's the point. If you have the number one pick, you can either pick the guy that you want, or you could trade out of it, giving the team that really wants a certain guy, because that's the beauty of the draft. Like, you just never know. That's the unpredictability of it, of how these teams are going to be evaluating each of these players. And, you know, the one thing I will say, both Jalen Milroe and Cam Ward, I can't even believe I'm talking about Jalen this high in the draft, but both of these kids are, you know, dual threat quarterbacks. They feel like they're more dual threat quarterbacks. Shador can run if he wants and has run.
Yeah.
But I think he's more of like, I'm going to stay back there and I'm just going to throw it like Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? I'm just going to be in the pocket. I'm not going to be running all over the place.
Let's go to Rich, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Rich?
Yeah, I didn't realize that Boomer was going to replace Gio with Joe Meningo this morning. I mean, for God's sake, we're the hair's on fire because of the You know, the Jets situation. I think we keep Aaron Rodgers, you know, draft offensive linemen go after an offensive lineman in the draft and bolster that offensive line, and we roll with it again next year.
What makes you think that Aaron Rodgers at 41 is going to stay healthy next year?
He's coming off the Achilles injury. I don't think he's looked that bad this year. I think there's a lot of drops.
Why is coming off an Achilles injury like a positive thing? Because he did rupture his Achilles at 40 years old as a Jets quarterback, then came back and injured his hamstring, his knee, and his ankle this year, and then finally got healthy, plays a couple of good games, and everybody wants him back.
I think he played through those injuries fairly well. I mean, I'm saying that I saw
throw for
a lot of
more than 200 yards in any of those games.
There was a lot of drop passes. Oh, I mean, I don't
a lot of drop passes. Stop it. I mean, I love the Aaron Rodgers like reasons for coming back. Oh, he's coming off an Achilles tear. Oh, okay. So let's throw him back out there. I see what other tendons he can pop. You know,
the only reason I think he comes back, if he does come back, would be, like I said, a Sean Payton type, a John Gruden type, a Mike Vrabel type that can handle him and that will set the rest of the team on the right path. That's how I think you bring him back. You're not bringing him back if you're bringing in Aaron Glenn, if you're bringing in Bobby Slowick, if you're bringing in one of these other coordinator types, especially a defensive coordinator type, because you got to have somebody that is going to be beholden to the offense, that is going to hold everybody on that team accountable. But I agree with the last caller. The last 2 weeks, man, that's the Aaron Rodgers that's the full-on healthy Aaron Rodgers. That's not the hurt Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but he's been hurt 90% of the time that he's been here.
I understand
that. So, I mean, it's just because he's put together two games where he's looked healthy, and you still have that 90% of the time he's been here, he's been hurt. And then when you get a caller like, oh, man, it was a hair on fire type of thing today. If your hair's not on fire now at this point in Jets history, then just quit. Quit being a fan. They fired their GM. They fired their coach. It's the most embarrassing season, quite possibly, in their history relative to the expectations that they have had. And they still gave up 450 yards of offense and 10,000 first downs to Mac Jones and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that's not Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, but it's the team. And what I'm saying is, you know, he's saying, well, you know, with the Jets, it's like, you know, the hair's on fire, Joe Beningo stuff. This season will go down in history as the biggest flop. This whole thing will go down as the biggest flop in New York sports history, even more so than Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. But you're supposed to be calm about it. You're supposed to be like, there's nothing going on. And what makes you think that this owner who's got his hands up everybody's, you know what, every time they're trying to do their job is going to hire the right guys because he brought in some geniuses from outside the organization, just like he did last time with who produced McCadden and Bulls.
Charlie Casserly.
Yeah, Charlie Casserly.
And Ron Wolf.
McCadden and Bulls. Here's your guy. Remember that?
I remember doing that bit
years ago. I got your guy. Here he is. Gravitas. He knows how to talk in front of the media. He can handle New York. Lots of personality. Todd Bowles.
Chris and Levittown. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, boys. I think that you should definitely keep Rodgers for a few reasons. If you cut him, they're going to suffer from all that dead money. I don't know that there's a better solution that doesn't involve him. Obviously, we count on him not retiring to stick around. But I truly believe he's been injured since about that Denver Bronco game. He played some good games before that. You can see he's slowly coming along. Now, it's not just him. We need a new coaching staff. We need to get the defense fixed. I just think that in a calmer way, not in a Joe Beningo way, that is the most logical.
The biggest reason you need a new coaching staff is to figure out how to end games.
Well, yeah.
That was another thing yesterday. Now, I know Mark Schlereth was going off. I mean, I'm assuming that they would trust their kicker in a situation where they could just kick a field goal and walk off the field and win.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that guys want to score touchdowns. Do you think that Devontae Adams was trying to score a touchdown or was not trying to score a touchdown right at the end? Because of what happened the week before.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I think it probably had crossed his mind, but he did. I mean, he scored, you know.
Oh, no, right? He didn't.
Which one are you talking
about?
The last one. Oh, okay.
About the last touchdown and how you could make an argument because Mark Schlereth was making an argument.
Right.
About just taking two knees, having them use their timeouts.
Right.
And then up kicking a field goal with about 10 seconds left to go in the game.
That would have been it. Right.
That would have been it, but they didn't do that.
Right.
And I'm wondering whether or not on that long on the pass play to
Devontae Adams. Right here.
He goes down. It looks like he's trying to score, but I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Was he trying to score or no?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if he was asked.
So you got a minute and eight left. Yeah. Jacksonville's got two timeouts. And all you have to do is take a couple knees. They'll use both of those timeouts. And on third down, let the clock run all the way down, use your own timeout, and then kick a field goal and essentially win the game.
Yeah, well, they got to win, so good for them.
But, they did, but I'm just saying, again, mismanagement of clock.
Well, they don't have a coaching staff. I mean, they assembled some of the biggest dummies you could possibly assemble, with Nate Hackett being the leader there. So, and they
Wow.
I mean, they did. I mean, they did.
I mean, but I've seen a number
of
situations completely mismanaged. Now, it's because of the way something turns out, you end up discussing it. And the fact that the Jets won the game, it didn't come back and bite them because Mac Jones throws the interception to Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is Patrick Mahomes on the other side, and you know, or Josh Allen on the other side, you better know your crap at the end of these games to make sure they don't get the ball back in their hands.
You're absolutely right. But, I mean, we're talking about a completely different level of football.
We're also talking about a team that ran up 400 yards of offense.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, but these coaches are not going to be here. You know, Ulbrich and Downing and Hackett and whoever the hell else is just not going to be anywhere near this organization. So someone else will come in who hopefully has better clock management skills and has an idea what the hell they're doing. But I guess the crux of the thing that I, like the argument that the people who want Aaron Rodgers to come back, that they're using, is the same argument that I'm using for him not to come back, and it's not computing with people. Like, if a guy who is 25 years old, 26 years old, you say, hey, he's finally healthy and he's playing great, we got to give him another chance. You're like, okay, you know, maybe he had some bad luck along the way, doesn't have a history injury, whatever it may be. We're talking about a guy who's 41 years old, who popped his Achilles last year and had a whole host of injuries this year, and then got healthy now for a couple of games, who's going to get his ass kicked again next year. I don't know why anybody thinks that because he got healthy towards the end of the year and has looked better, that that's going to somehow continue.
You know,
I mean, that's taking a big leap of faith.
I will say this. When Sean Payton took over the Broncos that first year, who was his quarterback?
Russell Wilson.
Right. So that's a reason why. So they bring in Sean Payton to put the hammer down. And, you know, none of this, you don't have an office in the building anymore. You don't have your own private parking spot. You don't have all these things that, you know, Juan Soto is going to get for the Mets. You're not getting that crap.
Yeah.
You're a part of a team. We're paying you a lot of money, and I expect you to play quarterback for me, and this is how it's going to go. That's the type of relationship that I'm talking about if, in fact, the Jets are able to bring Aaron Rodgers back. Yeah. It's not going to be some sort of coordinator type.
But that's who the Jets will hire. Yeah, I know what you mean, and I'm totally with you with all of that. And if Gruden came in and said, I want Aaron Rodgers for a year, and I think we could rebuild this defense to look like a semblance of a defense again, and we've got all this talent on offense, just give that to me for a year, I say, sure, okay, go and see what you could do, right. And maybe you give the Jets fans a couple of good moments. You still won't be able to compete with the best in the AFC, but, you know, maybe you have a winning season. Maybe. Or 8-9, it just looks a lot better than it has the last couple of years, but... But the Jets, they don't, like, Woody's not doing that. He's just not. He's going to go down the same road with guys who come here and just get swallowed up. And
well, let's see who they end up hiring, and let's see who the available quarterbacks will be for the Jets, because they'll be outside, you know, they'll be inside. Maybe they're inside the top 10 when it comes to the drafting. And there will be some free agent quarterbacks available, and we'll see who the head coach is and who you tell me who his quarterback's going to be, and I'll tell you how many games are going to win next year. All right?
Yeah. All I need to know is...
They'll be right back at the top of draft next year.
Yeah. I mean, they're like... I feel bad whoever it's going to be, like whoever takes their first head coaching job here with the Jets. Like, I just feel bad for that guy. Because it's just going to be the same thing. Just going to come here and just be completely punched right in the face by the history of the organization. No one is safe in that regard. Nobody. It's just like going into a black hole. You're not coming out. You're just not. It's going to suck you in there, and you're never going to see you again. Sorry.
Last night, two games on Monday Night Football, including the Vikings and the Bears.
Second and goal from the one, offset eye right behind Darnold. Hand off Baker, stretch out to the right, encountered at the line of scrimmage. Grinds his way for a touchdown! Cam Akers! Akers with his first rushing touchdown this year. And the Minnesota Vikings have a 26-6 lead.
And that's your guy Paul Allen on Vikings radio. They would win 30-12. Sam Darnold threw for 231, had a touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. That was Cam Akers running one in, Aaron Jones as well. Here was Darnold. It wasn't perfect, but we did enough to win.
Felt like we didn't play exactly the way that we wanted to on offense tonight. Can be a lot better in a lot of ways, but we got the job done, and that's all that matters.
How about the fact Caleb Williams, if I read this right, hasn't thrown an interception in like six or seven straight games, and they haven't won any of them. That sound right?
Yeah, it does sound right, but they're just not generating enough offense. You know, he's still a little bit of a scattershot guy. Reminds me a little bit of when Josh Allen first got into the league. You could see the arm strength. You could see all the ability. You just got to harness all of that power and everything else. And whoever the next coach will be, whether it be Cliff Kingsbury or somebody else, we'll get the best out of him. He'll be so much better next year as opposed to this year. And same thing for Jaden Daniels. You know, Jaden Daniels is playing great. He's a great athlete. But, you know, he'll have to refine his quarterbacking skills as he gets older. He can do it. You can see it. But it just needs to be a little bit more consistent.
He got sacked a ton this past week, Jaden Daniels. I think maybe 8 times. It was a lot. And in the beginning of the year, wasn't getting sacked at all.
Coaches don't like sacks, of course, but I'd much rather have a sack than a turnover. You know what I'm saying?
But
talk about the level of like, okay, if you don't see it, you don't feel it, just eat it. Don't throw it.
Sacked. Here was Williams on what it feels like for that to happen in the NFL.
Say you get in three car accidents and, you know, a month, you're going to feel it. And that's what a hit is in football. Y'all didn't know. A football and getting hit, especially when you can't deliver a hit to somebody, as in like running the ball. You take those over amount of time and, you know, it builds up.
Yeah. So.
And he's a young guy. Think if you're Aaron Rodgers, how you feel.
Not great.
Aaron Rodgers ran for over 40 yards this year.
45.
This past week, yeah. That's
exactly right. The Bears now 4-10 on the season. Meantime, you know, the Falcons beat the Raiders in an ugly game, 15-9. Vegas turned the ball over 3 times, had a punt block, gave up a safety. Desmond Ridder against his former team, well, not so good as he would say.
We just never able to find a rhythm again there, obviously, until late in the game. By then, it's too little too late, but we just got to find a way to get in rhythm and get in rhythm fast.
Liz said, Coach,
would you fight that voice? Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, the voice here, probably.
That's a tough one. The reason I brought it up, when I first heard it, I was like, I'm fighting that voice. And then as it went on, I was like, I don't think I'm fighting that voice. Yeah. I gotta say no, not fighting that voice. It's interesting. I didn't expect him to sound like that.
Here's Antonio Pierce as his quarterback. Was all right.
Personal game for him, but I thought it gave us a chance. I mean, we're down here inside the 40-yard line, plus 40, to give our team one more chance, one more opportunity. And he fought. Proud of his effort and the way he competed.
But we lost, and we're 2-12 and still alive for that number one pick overall in the draft. Week 16 begins Thursday. Broncos and Chargers, Giants, Falcons on Sunday. Brian Daboll, when looking at the film, because who knows, maybe Tim Boyle will be the quarterback again this week. How did he do in his limited time?
You know, he made some nice throws. He was decisive with the football. He was ready to go. He was prepared. He's worked, you know, extremely hard since he's been here. And, you know, he made the most of his opportunity, the chance he got to be in there.
Looks like we'll find out more Wednesday or Thursday when we know more on Tommy DeVito and on Drew Locke. Those are the three quarterbacks.
Really,
right,
the one that I worry about right now is Patrick Mahomes and whether or not
high ankle sprain.
Yeah, and whether or not he's playing this Thursday. And you got to remember, they're playing like, what they got, Thursday, Wednesday?
Saturday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday?
No, Saturday, Broncos, Wednesday. Chargers, Thursday.
Broncos, Chargers, Thursday.
Chiefs are Saturday.
Then Chiefs are Saturday, then Wednesday.
First base.
Okay. The question is are they going to play him in this game on Saturday? Because they have a game on Christmas at Pittsburgh, right? The game's at Pittsburgh.
It is at Pittsburgh.
Yep. Don't know. I thought a high ankle sprain was the worst type of sprain you can have.
He played through it, though.
He won the Super Bowl with it.
Yeah. But it is.
And
Jerry, you're right. It is the worst ankle sprain you can have, and sometimes it actually involves like a fracture, and there's a surgery that can happen. But he played through it and played great, but we'll see. Now, don't forget Carson Wentz, the backup there
yes.
in yeah. Kansas City.
The Lions lost David Montgomery. Here is Dan Campbell explaining what happened.
He's going to require surgery that'll put him out for the rest of the year, you know, and he had gotten it at some point yesterday in that game. I mean, David's so tough, man. You know, he continued to play through and then got it checked out today and, you know, and realized that's what it was. And
not good. And also their defensive tackle, Lee McNeil, out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL.
That is huge. That's a huge loss for them.
Yep, not good. The hits just keep on coming. North Carolina head coach Bill Belichick did his weekly segment with Pat McAfee. So a few things here from this yesterday. So what is this time as a college coach like, especially as he is kind of jumping right in?
It's very similar to what we went through with the post-draft process and right at the beginning of the free agent process, all combined into one with the transfer portal. And then you still have a little bit of, you know, some leftover players from high school that are uncommitted or you know, that are maybe weren't recruited, but for some reason now their name has surfaced.
No, I don't work in college football like you guys. I did not realize the transfer portal overlaps this bowl season.
It ruins the bowl season. Like, you had the backup quarterback for Penn State
leaving
before they play their game. Now some I saw where some players are in the transfer portal, but they're staying with their teams through the whatever, you know, college playoff.
Huh.
And Marshall had to withdraw from their bowl game against Army because half their players follow their coach.
Wow. Right, to Southern Miss.
Yeah, and so they had to bail on, and they gave it to La Tech.
What a joke.
It is. It's just that, and that's why I was telling, you know, Gio, in regards to Belichick, he had to make a decision relatively quickly, or North Carolina had to meet his demands relatively quickly.
Yeah, because they got to get moving on stuff.
Exactly.
Here he is talking about team building at this point.
You know, it's exciting to put together a team, you know, offensive line, quarterbacks. We've got a lot of guys think now we're really, you know, looking to add some skill players to the roster with.
And then in terms of what, so McAfee's, you know, asks them then, you know, obviously this is different. You got to go sit in living rooms, talk to parents, talk to agents. What is recruiting like?
We're selling the program, but quite honestly, Pat, a lot of players and agents are coming to us saying, we want to be part of the program. Is there a spot for us? Would you take this player, that player, and so forth? And so a lot of the agents are also representing players in the transfer portal that we've dealt with in the National Football League.
So very busy.
That's
time.
That's crazy. It's just it nuts is. What's going
it's
on.
It's pro football.
Yes, and that's why Bill Belichick thinks he can thrive. Have you gone through that entire interview yet?
Of the Belichick?
Yeah.
No, I'm only through the first 6 minutes.
I'm just really curious to hear if he asked him about that jet report, about him reaching out to the Jets.
I will, like I said, I'm 6 minutes in.
Now, I didn't see anything yesterday about that. You would think that if he commented on it, it would have been out there.
I think McAfee probably asked him. He's usually pretty good about that. They don't just glance over stuff. I at least ask him and maybe not have a follow-up, but he'll ask. Hopefully I'll have that for you next hour. I'll get right to it when I get out. Nets Cavaliers last night in Brooklyn. Kenny Atkinson was back. Jared Allen was back. Caris LeVert was back. And the Cavs just drilled Brooklyn.
Mitchell the other way. Right wing pull up three. It's good. Two in a row for Donovan Mitchell. Timeout Nets.
For to no avail. They got
swag nut Nets.
Well, last night, you're right, 130 to 101, and I don't even think it was that close. Here was Atkinson postgame. He was really taken aback by his team because one of the reporters says to him, you know, at shoot around, the theme was we want to go out here for Kenny tonight and take down the Nets for what they did to him and how he was, you know, let go.
It's kind of cool. I did feel it, like you know, and you know, a bunch of players, you know, you had Jared and Karras, and we had a bunch of assistant coaches who were here. Listen, it's just human nature. You know, a place you've been, you want to kind of show them that you're good, and you know, you still got it.
So I would say so. 23-7 through 27 games, the Cavaliers. They had seven guys in double figures last night.
That's, it's a great job by him, and you know, you never know where your next. You know, your next meal's coming from, your next paycheck, and he found the right spot, man.
Yeah, he did. Evan Mobley, 7 of 9 for 21 points to lead the way. The Nets now 10-16 on the season, and we know about them getting rid of Dennis Schroeder. We'll see who will follow, because I can't imagine they want to win many games. Tonight, the Thunder play the Bucks in Las Vegas for the Cup Championship, and that's it for the NBA. This is a standalone game for this big event. NHL tonight, the Rangers are in Nashville against the Predators. You've got the Devils and the Blues in St. Louis. The Islanders on the road at Carolina. And you've got two local college basketball games of note with St. John's home for DePaul. And Seton Hall visits Villanova.